This is Radio 4. It's 7:45 and time now for Saturday Night Theatre. During the past year, the BBC has worked in cooperation with the LA Classic Theatre Works Company and KCRW, a national public radio station in Los Angeles, to record several plays, including The Crucible and The Price, both by Arthur Miller. Tonight we're broadcasting Plaza Suite by another of America's outstanding playwrights, Neil Simon, who also introduces the performance. At the end of the play, he can be heard in a short interview in which he talks about his work. This will be at around 9:27.
A fine romance with no kisses. A fine romance, my friend, this is. We should be like a couple of hot tomatoes, but you're as cold as yesterday's mashed potatoes. A fine romance.
This is Neil Simon, and I am delighted to welcome you to the first ever radio production of my play Plaza Suite, which is to be performed by members of the LA Classic Theatre Works Company. The play is divided into three parts, each taking place in the same suite of the fashionable Plaza Hotel in New York. In the first part, The Visitor from Amerinac, Karen Nash is played by Marsha Mason and Sam Nash is played by Joe Spano. There are also guest appearances by Alfred Molina, Kerry Schell, and Michelle Costa. In the second part, The Visitor from Hollywood, Jesse Kiplinger and Muriel Tate are played by Hector Elizondo and Joe Beth Williams. And in the third and final part, The Visitor from Forest Hills, Norma and Roy Hubley are played by Marsha Mason and Ed Asner, with special appearances by Richard Dreyfuss and Amy Irving. Plaza Suite, Part 1, The Visitor from Amerinac.
Everything all right, ma'am?
Wait a minute. I want to make sure this is the right room. I know this is suite 719, but was it always 719?
Yes, ma'am, 719.
You don't understand. I know sometimes hotels change the numbers around. This could have been 723 or 715, and it's very important that I get 719.
Well, I'm here 2 years. It's always been 719.
Oh. Well, now, a vase for these flowers. You know about A26 at the Savoy Plaza?
I know, ma'am.
Oh, well, they had a famous murder in A26. And then the next year there was a fire, and the year after that a husband and wife committed suicide. Then no one wanted A26, so they turned it into a linen closet. It's a fact. There is no more A26 at the Savoy Plaza.
Well, there's no more Savoy Plaza either. They tore it down.
Oh, my God, look at that. There's no Savoy Plaza. What's that monstrosity?
It's the General Motors building.
Shows you how often I get into the city. Well, listen, that's what they're doing today. If it's old and it's beautiful, it's not there in the morning.
Well, you still have a nice view from that window.
For how long? I guarantee you Central Park comes down in 5 years.
You think so?
I know so. 5 years from now, you'll look out this window and you'll see one little tree in the world's largest A&P.
I don't think I'll be working here 5 years from now.
You mean the rumor is true?
What rumor?
That the plaza is coming down, too.
This plaza?
Oh, I don't want to worry you or anything. Just a rumor. No one knows for sure, but it's definitely coming down. I'll put it here.
I didn't hear that.
Well, I'm sure they want to keep it quiet from the staff. The story is they're going to tear down the plaza and put up a 52-story luxury hotel.
Why? This is a luxury hotel.
Yeah, but it's an old luxury hotel. Today it has to be new. Old is no good anymore. Well, all I really care about is tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Is there anything else?
Mm-mm. Oh, wait a minute. Don't tell me I don't have any change.
That's all right, ma'am.
It's not all right. This is your living. Ah, here you are.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'll be very honest with you. I don't usually give $5 tips, but it's my anniversary, so I can be a sport.
Oh. Well, congratulations.
Thank you, dear. 24 years ago today, I spent my honeymoon in this room. Now, this is 719, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am, 719.
I bet you weren't even born 24 years ago, right?
No, I was born.
You know what I was? I was 25. You know what that makes me today? Some old lady.
Well, you certainly don't look like an old lady. have a pleasant stay, ma'am, and happy anniversary.
Thank you, dear. Take my advice. Don't rush, but look around for another job. You are definitely some old lady. Room service, please. Oh, no, operator. I was groaning to myself. Taking off my galoshes. Galoshes. Hello, room service? Listen, room service, this is Mrs. Sam Nash in suite 719. I would like a nice cold bottle of champagne. Yes, that sounds good. Is it French? Oh, fine. Well, with two glasses and a tray of assorted hors d'oeuvres. But listen, room service, I don't want any anchovies. They always give you anchovy patties with the hors d'oeuvres, and my husband doesn't eat anchovies, and I hate them, so don't give me any anchovies. Instead of the anchovies, give me some extra smoked salmon. Or you could split them up, half smoked salmon, half caviar. That's right. Mrs. Nash, 719. No anchovies. They'll give me anchovies. Look at that. No more Savoy Plaza. Hello? Hello? Sam, where are you? Good, come up, I'm here. What room do you think? 719, remember? 719, suite 719? That's right. He doesn't remember. Now, where is that negligee? Hello. Hello, Miss McCormick. No, he's not here, dear, but he's on his way up. Yes, I will. It's not important, is it? Well, he seems so tired lately. I was hoping he wouldn't have to think about work tonight. Oh, my God, I still have my galoshes on. All right, I'll tell him to call. Yes, when he comes in. Goodbye. Oh, damn it. Just a minute. Oh, you had to wear galoshes today, right? Oh, for God's sakes. Now my shoe's stuck in it. All right, I'm coming. Look at this, my 24th anniversary. Hello, Sam.
An hour and 15 minutes I was in the goddamn dentist chair.
How do you feel, Sam?
Between his lousy dirty jokes and radio WQXR-FM, I got some headache. Anyone call?
Sam, do you remember this room?
Well, two more caps and I'm through. What do you think?
Woo, dazzling.
You don't think they're too white, do you? They look too white to you?
No, perfect. Very nice with the blue shirt.
These don't stain, you know. 100 years from now when I'm dead and buried, they'll be the same color.
Oh, good. You'll look wonderful. You don't remember this room,
do
you?
Is it dirty already? The meeting must be over. Didn't anyone call?
Miss McCormick from the office. She wants you to call back.
Why didn't you tell me?
We were busy talking about your white teeth. Happy anniversary, Sam.
What? What'd you say? What's the matter with your leg?
One is shorter than the other. Didn't you ever notice that? I've had it for years.
Lorraine? Mr. Nash, let me have Miss McCormick, please. Well, that kills my barber's appointment today. Where could I use 5 minutes under the sun lamp? Miss McCormick, did Henderson call? Did he send the contracts? What about Nizer? Oh, I see. I'll jot it down. Damn. Karen! What does it look like? Karen! A pencil! Very good. All right, give me the figures. That sounds right, but I got to go over the estimates. Tomorrow morning. That doesn't give us much time. Wait a minute. Give me those figures again. Karen, for God's sakes, a pencil! 175 escalating up to 3.25.
Here.
Oh, hold it. 175 up to 3.25. This is a lipstick. Lipstick.
I don't have a pencil.
Then why do you give me a lipstick?
Because I don't have a pencil. It's shocking pink, but it writes. Nice color.
All right. I'm going to go over my figures here. If Henderson calls or the contracts come in, bring them right over. What's that? Yes. Well, it's like we were saying the other night. It's the old Badger game. All right. I'll speak to you later. And thank you, Miss McCormick. $175,000 contract. You give me a lipstick!
I'd have given you blood, but it isn't blue.
All right. Don't test me, because I got enough of a headache. I need an aspirin. And for God's sakes, Karen, stop hobbling around. I don't feel like listening to thump, thump, thump. Aspirin.
And happy anniversary to you.
What?
Forget it. I'll just take off my other galosh.
What are you talking about? It's not our anniversary.
Oh, today is December 14th, isn't it?
Yes.
So, we're married 24 years today.
Are you serious?
We're not married 24 years today?
No.
We're not married 24 years?
No.
We're not married?
Tomorrow is our anniversary, and we're married 23 years.
Are you sure?
What do you mean, am I sure? I know when our anniversary is. December 15th, we're married 23 years. How can you make a mistake like that?
All right, don't get so excited. It's not such a big mistake because I didn't get you a present. Are you sure it's not the 14th?
But I go through this with you every year. When it comes to money or dates or ages, you are absolutely unbelievable. We were married December 15th, 1965.
Then I'm right. 24 years.
65 from 88 is 23.
Then I'm wrong. Math isn't one of my best subjects.
This isn't math. This is people's lives. How old are you?
What?
It's a simple question. How old are you?
I don't want to play.
I can't believe it. You really don't know how old you are.
I know how old I am, but you get me nervous. Promise you won't leave me if I'm wrong. I'll be 49 in April. Isn't that right?
No, but you're close.
I'm not going to be 49.
Not this April. This April, you're going to be 48.
Oh.
How the hell can you make a mistake like that? Can't you ever?
All right. Don't talk to me like I'm a child. I'm a 48-year-old woman.
But the thing that infuriates me is that you make the mistake the wrong way. Why don't you make yourself younger instead of older the way other people do?
Okay. I'm 47. So, how do I look to you now?
I got work to do. I got a very important meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, come on, Sam. Where's your sense of humor? I think it's cute as hell that I don't know how old I am.
I can't even think straight. I've had 5 meetings this morning, 4 teeth capped, and I haven't even had my oat bran. Well, I better eat something.
I just ordered hors d'oeuvres.
Not for me. You know, I'm on 900 calories a day. Room service, please. My God. Who the hell is that in the mirror? When you look at my eyes, I have no pupils left. Come here, look at this. You see any pupils?
Yes, Sam, I see 2 gorgeous pupils.
Where? I don't have a pupil in my head. Would you get my eye drops out of the case?
I think you've been overworking, Sam. I haven't seen you 2 nights this month.
Oh, I could really use some sun. I'm about a month of sleep.
Hey, why don't we go down to Jamaica for a couple weeks? Just the 2 of us. We haven't done that in years.
Hello. Room service, where were you? Listen, I'd like a plate of cold roast beef, medium rare, very lean. You know what very lean is? No, it doesn't mean no fat. It means absolutely no fat. And I want a salad, no dressing, a half grapefruit, and a pot of black coffee. And I'd appreciate it as soon as possible. Wait a second. Where are you, Karen?
At the Suite 719, Plaza Hotel, New York, New York, 10023.
719, as soon as you can. What's wrong with you today?
You wouldn't believe it, but 15 minutes ago I was the happiest woman on earth. Sit down. I'll put your pupils back in.
I can do it myself.
I know you can, Sam, but I like to put your eye drops in. Sit still. It's the only time lately you look at me.
I'm sorry.
You are?
I haven't been nice to anyone the past couple weeks.
You sounded swell to Miss McCormick.
Put the eye drops in.
First give an old lady a kiss.
I give you my permission to hate me.
I'll save it for later. Now, open your gorgeous pupils.
8 months I've been working on this deal, and suddenly today my 2 top men in the office come down with the flu and I gotta do everything myself.
Ah! What's the matter?
You dropped them in. You don't push them in.
I'm sorry. You moved your head.
I moved my head because you were stabbing my eyeball.
All right. Don't panic, Sam. I'm sorry.
Why do you think they call it a dropper? If they wanted you to stab people, they call it a stabber. Well, give it to me. I'll do it myself.
You mean that's the end of being nice to each other?
I don't know what we're doing in a hotel anyway.
What's the Plaza got to do with my stabbing your eyeball?
Because it's insane being here. That's why. I've got to work tonight. I don't know how I'm going to concentrate.
You've got to sleep someplace tonight. The painter says it's going to take 2 days for the house to dry.
Yes, but why now? Do it in the spring. Oh, that feels better. This is my busy time of the year.
I know, but it's not the painter's busy time of the year. In the spring, he doesn't want to know you.
Why didn't you ask me first?
I never see you. I saw the painter.
You could have checked with my secretary.
I did. She said go ahead and paint the house.
All times of the year. Did you bring my things? Toothbrush, pajamas?
I brought your toothbrush.
You forgot my pajamas?
I didn't forget them. I just didn't bring them.
Why not?
Because this is Suite 719 at the Plaza, and I just didn't think you'd want your pajamas tonight.
You know I can't sleep without pajamas.
I took that into consideration.
What?
Never mind. They've got shops in the lobby. Should I ask them to send up their catalog, or will you take potluck?
You know what a pair of pajamas would cost at the Plaza? $100, $200.
You want me to send a bellhop to Bloomingdale's?
I don't understand you. One lousy little bag is all you had to pack.
Forgive me, it's my busy time of the year.
Karen, do me a favor. Don't get brittle. I'm very shaky right now, and one good crack, and I go right to the dry cleaners. Boy, could I use a nice big cold double martini.
Don't get angry, but could I make a suggestion? Why don't you have a nice big cold double martini?
You serious? You know how many calories there are in a double martini?
4 or 5 million?
You know my metabolism. One double martini and right in front of your eyes I get flabby.
You used to get sexy.
Well, now I get flabby. Unless I watch myself like a hawk, which I think I managed to do.
I like you flabby.
What does that mean?
It means I like you flabby. I admit you look like one of the Pepsi generation, but it seems a little unnatural to me. A man of your age ought to have a couple of pounds of skin hanging over his belt.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
I'm not disappointed. I'm uncomfortable. I watch you when you get undressed at night. Nothing moves. You're vacuum packed. When you open your belt, I expect it to go like a can of coffee. Whoosh!
Do you think it's easy with my metabolism to keep my weight down? Do you know what it's like to have a business luncheon at the Villa Capri and watch someone slop down a bowl of spaghetti and I'm munching on a hearts of lettuce salad?
My compliments to your restraint.
I go through torture to maintain my weight.
I have nothing but admiration for your waistline.
But you like me flabby.
We all have our little perversions.
Can we drop the subject?
Like a baked potato.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Whee!
You know, people have had their eyes put out with paper darts. What are you doing?
Nothing.
Why do you like me flabby?
Is the floor open again?
No, forget it.
It's forgotten.
What was I just doing?
Watching yourself like a hawk.
Look, I just want to say one more thing, and then the discussion is closed. I'm at the athletic club 3-4 times a week, watching men at least 10 years younger than me huffing and puffing, trying to sweat off a couple of ounces that goes right on back after the cocktail hour. Now, maybe you don't consider it a monumental achievement, but my weight hasn't changed in 6 years. I'm still 177 on the scale.
So am I. Now you know why I like you flabby. The subject is closed.
Hey. Karen.
Yeah, Sam.
Let's not fight.
It's all right with me, Sam.
Let's be nice to each other.
Okay, who goes first?
Karen.
Yes?
Nothing. I'm going to do a little work, okay?
You don't even remember this room, you louse.
What's that?
I may not know how old I am, but I sure as hell remember. We spent our honeymoon night in Suite 719 at the Plaza Hotel, and this is definitely 719 because I just tipped the bellhop $5.
Was this the room?
Oh, Christ.
Now, wait a minute. I think you're right. Sure, this looks like the suite. Only it was decorated differently. This room was blue.
That was you. You were in the Navy. The bedroom was green.
No, I think you're mistaken. The bedroom was blue.
You're probably confusing it with some other honeymoon. Sam, remember we had dinner here in the bedroom?
No.
Yes, we had dinner here in the bedroom. Do you remember what we had?
For dinner? 23 years ago?
I remember. You remember, too. Take a guess.
Karen, I don't remember.
Yes, you do. Think about it a second.
I thought about it. I don't remember.
We had a bottle of champagne and a tray full of hors d'oeuvres, and we left all the anchovies in the drawer.
Oh.
See? It's coming back to you. If you're looking for the Savoy Plaza, it's not there.
I'm looking at the Pierre.
There it is.
Karen.
What?
It was 8:19. We were in 8:19, not 7:19.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. I'm right. We were in 8:19. I'm right.
Don't keep saying you're right like you're right. You're wrong. We were in 7:19.
I'll prove it to you. Look, remember, I had my binoculars. We were watching that couple getting undressed at the Pierre. They were on the 8th floor. I remember because we were looking for them the next night. We called them the couple on the 8th floor.
I don't know what you call them. I call them the couple on the 7th floor.
Look, it's pointless to argue about it. It's not important.
If it's pointless, then why are you pointing it out?
Because you made an issue out of it.
Maybe I made an issue of saying we were in 719, but you made an issue of proving to me we weren't in 719.
All right, Karen.
Don't tell me, all right, Karen. If I thought it was 719, why didn't you have the decency to let me just go on in my ignorance and think it was 719?
Okay, I'm sorry. It was 719.
Forget it. It was 819.
No. As a matter of fact, you're right. I just remembered. It really was 719.
I don't want 719. I want 819. Look, why don't you just go inside and lose some weight? I'm sorry, Sam. We're some lousy couple, aren't we? Aren't we? What?
Yes, we're some lousy couple.
That's what I said. First thing we agreed on today.
Look, Karen, I really don't mean to be rude, but I must work on these estimates tonight. You understand?
Sure. I understand.
I explained to you that Sid and Walter suddenly came down with the flu and...
It's all right, Sam. You're excused. Do you have any good estimates for me to read?
Isn't there anything to read in the bedroom?
Checkout time is 3 o'clock. Well, that's all I could find. Don't worry about me. I'll find something to do.
Karen.
Okay.
Where are you going?
Looking for the waiter.
Call him up.
Oh, I thought I'd look in the hall first. Gives me something to do. Nope, don't see him. In 5 minutes, I'll call. See, I alternate them.
Karen, please.
Oh, come on. Forget your crummy old papers and take me to a dirty movie. Come on, Sam, let's go.
Stop it, Karen.
You know what's playing on 6th Avenue? Cat House Confidential and Ursula the Slut. I passed it in the cab, I swear, on my mother's life.
Don't be ridiculous.
Are you afraid we'll be recognized? We could buy beards at the 5 and 10.
If you want to go, go yourself. I got to look over these papers.
What happens if I get picked up?
Call me and I won't wait up for you.
Good. You got your sense of humor back. All right. Just take a walk with me. A 10-minute walk and I'll leave you alone.
Maybe later. We'll see.
No movies, no walk. Feel like going back to the house and watching the paint dry? I'm just trying to think of something we can do together.
Shall I get it, or is that something you'd like for us to do together?
Ooh, listen, I'll even take nastiness. It's not much, but it's a start.
Good evening.
Hello.
Would you like the table near the window?
Sam, would you like the table near the window?
Doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't make any difference.
Shall I leave it here?
Sam, should he leave it there?
Here, there, anywhere, it doesn't make any difference.
Here, there, anywhere, it doesn't make any difference.
Shall I set up the chairs?
You don't have to set up the chairs.
You don't have to set up the chairs.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, leave them. You've done it already.
Yes, why don't you just leave the chairs? They're all set up.
Can I have the bill, please?
Yes, sir.
Oh, look at all the anchovies.
Didn't you tell him you didn't want anchovies?
You didn't want anchovies?
No, no. I asked for anchovies. I'm a very big fan of anchovies.
That'll be all, thank you.
Yes, that'll be all, thank you.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. The champagne. Where's the champagne?
No champagne. You're right. They forgot the champagne.
But the anchovies, they remember.
I can't drink anything now. I've got work to do. What do you need a whole bottle of champagne for?
It's our anniversary. It's our anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. We're married 23 or 24 years today or tomorrow.
Then you want the champagne?
With 2 grown children in college.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You think so? He's flunking out and she's majoring in dirty clothes.
He's not flunking out. Why do you say he's flunking out? That'll be all. Thank you.
If you don't want the champagne, I'll cross it off the bill.
She doesn't want any champagne. Cross it off the bill.
I want the champagne. Don't cross it off the bill. Bring me a bottle and 1 glass.
Yes, ma'am.
That'll be all. Thank you.
Yes, that'll be all. Thank you.
When you want me to take the table, just ring.
Yes, I'll ring when I want you to take the table.
Thank you. Oh, and again, congratulations.
Did you hear that, Sam? We're being congratulated on being married to each other.
I asked for lean roast beef. That is not lean roast beef.
You know how many people we know who are still married as long as us? 1 other couple. The Shelleys. The most boring people I ever met.
Why do you talk to the waiter like that?
Like what? Roast beef.
Like you've known him for 20 years. You just met him. He walked in here 2 minutes ago with fatty roast beef. It's none of his business how our son is doing in school.
I was just having a conversation. I get lonely. I like to talk to people.
He's a waiter. Talk to him about food.
I did something wrong again. I'm sorry, Sam. When he brings the champagne, I'll hide behind the drapes.
You don't have to hide. Just don't tell him our personal problems, that's all.
What should I do? Lie?
Certainly lie. Everybody else does. Tell him you have a beautiful and devoted daughter. Tell him you have a brilliant son who's on the dean's list. Tell him you're only 42 years old.
There's no point to it. In 2 years, I'll be 50. Who's going to like me better if I'm only 42?
You don't have to revel in it like it's some kind of accomplishment.
I'm not insane about getting older, Sam. It happens to everyone. It happened to you. You're 51 years old.
That's the difference between us. I don't accept it. I don't have to accept being 51. I don't accept getting older.
Good luck to you. You'll be the youngest one in the cemetery.
We can't even have a normal conversation anymore. I'm going in the bedroom and lie down.
Accept being 51 and I'll have a normal discussion. Oh. Aren't you going to have your dinner? Sam? I found some very lean roast beef. Come inside and see how thin I'm getting. Hey, ooh, come on, the champagne is here. If you don't come out, I'll tell the waiter you wear dentures. Oh. Hello, Miss McCormick.
Hello, Mrs. Nash. I hope I'm not disturbing you.
No, no, not at all. Mr. Nash and I were just sitting around joking. Come on in.
Thank you. I hate to barge in this way, but I have some papers that need Mr. Nash's signature immediately.
Certainly. Sam, it's Miss McCormick. It is Miss McCormick now, isn't it?
It was Mrs. Colby last year. This year it's Miss McCormick again.
Oh, you're lucky you can remember. I've been married so long, if I got divorced, I'd have to make up a maiden name. Have you had your dinner yet? There's plenty of thin roast beef.
I don't have dinner, thank you.
No dinner? Ever?
I have a large breakfast, a moderate lunch, and a snack before going to bed. On this job, I've worked late so often that I've had to readjust my eating routine. Now I'm used to it.
Oh, well, I can understand that. I miss a lot of dinners with Mr. Nash, too.
Oh, hello. You got them, huh?
Just came in, all ready for signature.
How about some black coffee? Or would that fill you up?
Black coffee would be fine, thank you.
One black coffee coming up. Sam, would you like some black coffee?
No.
That's no black coffee and one black coffee.
Why is there an adjustment on this figure?
There was a clerical omission on the Cincinnati tabulations. It didn't show up on the 1400, but I rechecked it with my own files and made the correction. So that item 17B should read 325,000. Disregard the figure on 17A.
Cream and sugar?
No, thank you.
But this should have been caught on the IBM.
It should have been, but it wasn't. Obviously, it wasn't fed properly.
No cream and no sugar or no cream and yes sugar?
No cream and no sugar.
So it's yes, no cream and no sugar.
Did you call this to Purcell's attention?
Would you like some pastry or cookies? I could call down. They have beautiful pastry and cookies here.
This is fine, thank you. Mr. Purcell said this happened once before this month. He can't pin it down until he rechecks the whole 86 file.
You're sure? A sandwich? A Welsh rarebit?
No, I'm really quite happy, thank you.
I'm just going to have to go over this whole thing tonight with Howard. If we give Henderson any room for doubt, we can blow our entire presentation.
I told him there was a possibility of this, so he made plans to stay in town tonight.
Damn, of all nights for this to happen. What time is it now?
5:10.
5:10.
All right, you tell Howard I'll meet him in the office between 6:15 and 6:30. Tell him I want to see every one of last year's 1400 forms.
You're going to the office tonight?
Oh, it can't be helped, Karen. We're having that same damn trouble with the computer again.
Well, I could go with you. Maybe all it needs is a little dusting.
Well, something in that office sure as hell needs dusting. All right, Miss McCormick, why don't you go hop in a cab now and get started on these figures with Howard? I just want to freshen up, and I'll meet you in about 20 minutes.
Yes, sir.
I hope I'm not ruining any plans you had for tonight.
When I saw the figures this morning, I expected it. Mrs. Nash, thank you very much for the coffee.
You really should eat something. You'll faint right over the IBM machine.
I'll be all right.
It's a pity you can't stay 2 more minutes. I just ordered champagne. Can I tell her why, Sam?
What's that?
Well, I'm not supposed to go around blurting these things out, but it's our 23rd anniversary.
Oh, I didn't know. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, life has been very good to me. I have a beautiful and devoted daughter, a brilliant son who's on the dean's list. I'm 42 years old. What more could I ask?
Karen, Miss McCormick has to get back to the office.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't let him make you work too late.
It's all right. I'm used to it now.
Mm-hmm.
Best wishes again, Mrs. Nash.
Thanks, dear. And see that he buys me a nice gift.
I definitely will.
What a sweet girl. That's a very sweet girl, Sam.
Karen, listen, I'm very sorry about tonight. It just can't be helped.
That's a sweet, young, skinny girl.
The thing is, if I leave now, maybe I can still get back in time for us to have a late dinner.
Oh, don't worry about me, Sam. I understand. I just feel badly for you. Could have been a really relaxed tonight. Instead, you'll be cooped up in that stuffy office until all hours working over some boring contracts with your smooth-shaven face.
Well, I can't very well walk through the lobby of the Plaza Hotel with a stubbly chin.
They wouldn't let you in the elevator. Don't forget your Jade West.
My what?
Your sexy cologne, the doorman will never get you a cab if you don't smell nice.
What are you doing, Karen?
I'm just joking. Can't you tell when I'm kidding around anymore, Sam?
No, I can't.
Well, of course I am. I'm just teasing you by intimating you're having an affair with your secretary.
I see.
Are you, Sam? Is sweet, skinny Miss McCormick your mistress?
For God's sakes, Karen, what kind of thing is that to say?
Well, if you're not, it's a lousy thing to say. If you are, it's a hell of a question.
I'm not even going to dignify that with an answer.
Oh, come on, Sam. Dignify it. I'm dying to know. Just tell me if you're having an affair with her or not. Look, I'm down on my knees.
And you'll believe me?
Of course.
No, I'm not having an affair with her.
Yes, you are.
Oh, cursor's trapped again. Looks like snow. I hope we can get a cab.
Even if you're not, Sam, it's all right if you do. I approve of Miss McCormick. She's a nice girl.
Thank you. She'll be pleased to know. Look, I could call downstairs and get your ticket for a show tonight. There's no reason for you to sit alone like this. Is there something you'd like to see?
Yeah, what you and Miss McCormick will be doing later.
Really, Karen, I find this in very poor taste.
Why? I'm just being honest again. I'm saying that if at this stage in your life you wanted to have a small, quiet affair with a young, skinny woman, I would understand.
What do you mean, at this stage in my life?
Well, you're blankety years old. I would say the number, but I know you don't accept it. And I realize that when a man becomes blankety one or blankety two, he's feeling insecure, that he's losing his virility. And the quiet fling may be the best thing for him. I know. I read the New York Post.
Well, I'm glad to know I have Rose Franzblau's permission.
And mine, if you really want it.
Well, I don't want it, and I'm not having an affair.
Then why are you yelling?
Because this is an idiotic conversation.
Oh, Sam, I'm so glad.
Now you're happy. You're happy now because you don't think I'm having an affair?
Well, of course I'm happy. You think I'm some kind of a domestic mental case? I don't want you having an affair. I'm just saying that if you are having one, I understand.
Karen, I have a hard night's work ahead of me. I'll be back about 12.
Sam, stay and talk with me for 5 minutes.
You're waiting for me at the office. I've got work to do.
You've got help at the office. I've been with the firm longer than all of them. Sam, I know we haven't been very happy lately. I know you've been busy. You may not have noticed it, but we have definitely not been happy.
Yes, Karen, I've noticed it.
Well, what's wrong? We have a 12-room house in the country, 2 sweet children, a maid who doesn't drink. Is there something we're missing?
I don't know.
Well, can you at least think about it? I need hints, Sam. Is there something else you want? Is there something I can give you that I'm not giving you? Could you please speak up, Sam? We're closing in 10 minutes.
It's me, Karen. It's not you.
I'll buy that. What's wrong with you, Sam?
I don't know. I don't know if you can understand this. But when I came home from the war, I had my whole life in front of me. And all I dreamed about, all I wanted was to get married and to have children and to make a success of my life. Well, I was very lucky. I got it all. Marriage, the children, more money than I ever dreamed of making.
Then what is it you want?
I just want to do it all over again. I would like to start the whole damn thing right from the beginning.
I see. Well, frankly, Sam, I don't think the Navy will take you again.
Well, it won't be because I can't pass the physical. I told you it's stupid talking about it. It'll work itself out. If not, I'll dye my hair.
You know what I think? I think you want to get out and you don't know how to tell me.
That's not true.
Which isn't? That you want to get out or that you don't know how to tell me?
Why do you want me to start the most serious discussions in our life when I'm halfway out the door?
If that's what you want, just tell me straight out. Just say, Karen, there's no point in going on. I'd rather hear it from you personally than get a message on your answering phone.
Look, we'll talk about it when I get back, okay?
No, goddammit, we'll talk about it now. I'm not going to sit around a hotel room half the night waiting to hear about how my life is going to come out. If you've got something to say, then have the decency to say it before you walk out that door.
Any coffee left?
It's that bad, huh? All right, sit down. I'll get you some coffee. Whoa, look at this. I'm shaking like a leaf. Pour it yourself. I have a feeling in a few minutes I'm not going to be too crazy about you.
No matter what, Karen, in 23 years, my feelings for you have never changed. You're my wife. I still love you.
Oh, God, am I in trouble?
This has nothing to do with you. It's something that just happened. It's true, I am having an affair with her. It's been going on for about 6 months now. I tried stopping it a few times. Didn't work. After a couple of days, I'd start it again. And then, what's the point in going on with this? You wanted honesty? I'm giving it to you. I'm having an affair with Jean. That's all there is to it.
Who's Jean?
Jean, Miss McCormick.
Oh, for a minute, I thought there were two of them.
I'm not very good at this. I don't know what I'm supposed to say now.
Oh, don't worry about it. You're doing fine. You want that coffee now? I just stopped shaking.
What are we going to do?
Well, you're taken care of. You're having an affair. I'm the one who needs an activity.
Karen, I'll do anything you want.
Anything I want?
I'll leave. I'll get out tonight. Or I'll stop seeing her. I'll get rid of her in the office. I'll try it any way you want.
Oh, okay. I choose stop seeing Jean. Gee, that was easy. Now we can go back to our old normal life and live happily ever after. Whoops, it's not my day. Even the coffee's cold.
Oh, come on, Karen. Don't play. Aren't we civilized? Call me a bastard. Throw the coffee at me.
You're a bastard. You want cream and sugar?
Well, it's funny how our attitudes have suddenly changed. What happened to... I think a man of your age should have an affair.
Look good in the window, but terrible when I got it home.
If it's any solace to you, I never thought it would go this far. I don't even remember how it started.
Oh, think. It'll come back to you.
You know, she worked for me for 2 years, and I never batted an eye at her.
Good for you, Sam.
Oh, come on!
No, Sam, I want to hear about it. She worked for you for 2 years, and you didn't know her first name was Jean. And then one night, you were both working late, and suddenly you let your hair down and took off your glasses, and she said, "Why, Mr. Nash, you're beautiful."
That's it. Word for word. You must have been hiding in the closet.
All right. You want to know when I think the exact date your crummy little affair started? I'll tell you. It was June 19th. It was your birthday. And you just turned 50 years old. 5-0, count 'em, folks, and you were feeling good and sorry for yourself, right?
God, here comes Dr. Franzblau again.
And the only reason you picked on Miss McCormick was because she was probably the first one you saw that morning. If she was sick that day, this affair very well could have been with your elevator operator.
I'm wrong. He's 52, and I don't go for older men.
You were right before, Sam. Let's discuss this later on tonight.
No, no. We've opened this up. Let's bring it all out. I've told you the truth. I'm involved with another woman. I'm not proud of it, Karen, but those are the facts. Now, what am I supposed to do about it?
Well, I would suggest committing suicide, but I'm afraid you might think I meant me. I have one other suggestion. Forget it.
Forget it?
I understand it, Sam. It's not your fault. But maybe I can live with it until it's over. What else can I do, Sam? I'm attached to you. So go out, have a good time tonight, and when you come home, bring me the Daily News. I'm getting sick of the Post.
If I lived with you another 23 years, I don't think I'd ever understand you.
If that's a proposition, I accept.
Damn it, Karen. Stop accepting everything in life that's thrown at you. Fight back once in a while. Don't understand me. Hate me. I'm not going through a middle-aged adjustment. I'm having an affair. A cheating, sneaking, sordid affair.
If it helps you to romanticize it, Sam, all right. I happen to know better.
Well, you don't know better at all. You didn't even know I was having an affair.
I suspected it. You were working 3 nights a week, and we weren't getting any richer.
I see. And now that you know the truth, I have your blessing.
No, just my permission. I'm your wife, not your mother.
That's indecent. I never heard such a thing in my life. For crying out loud, Karen, I am losing all respect for you.
What's the matter, Sam? Am I robbing you of all those delicious guilt feelings? Will you feel better if I go to pieces and try to lash back at you?
At least I would understand it. It's normal. I don't know why you're not having hysterics and screaming for a lawyer.
All right, Sam, if it'll make you happier. I think you stink. You're a vain, self-pitying, deceiving 10-pound box of rancid no-cal cottage cheese. How am I doing?
Swell. Now we're finally getting somewhere.
Oh, you really like this, don't you? It makes everything nice and simple for you. Now you can leave here, the martyred, misunderstood husband. Well, I won't give you the satisfaction. I take it back, Sam. You're a pussycat. I'll have milk and cookies for you when you get home.
No, no. Finish what you were saying. Get it off your chest, Karen. It's been building up for 23 years. I want to hear everything. Vain, self-pitying, what else? Go on. What else?
You're adorable. Eat your heart out.
Karen, don't do this to me.
I'm sorry. I'm a forgiving woman. I can't help myself.
Well, you're driving me right out of here. You know that, don't you?
There'll always be room for you in my garage.
If I walk out this door now, I don't come back.
I think you will.
What makes you so sure?
You forgot to take your eye drops. There.
Before I go, I just want to say one thing. Whatever you think of me is probably true. No, not probably. Definitely. I have been a bastard right from the beginning. I don't expect you to forgive me.
But I do.
Now, let me finish. I don't expect you to forgive me, but I ask you with all conscience, with all your understanding, not to blame Jean for any of this.
I'll send her a nice gift.
She's been torturing herself ever since this started. I'm the one who forced the issue.
It didn't show up on the 1400, but I rechecked it with my own files and made the correction on the 640. You know as well as I do, that's code for I'll meet you at the Piccadilly Hotel.
Oh, believe me, will you, that she's a nice girl.
Nice for you and nice for me are two different things, Sam.
Well, that Sunday supplement psychology you're using, Karen, is backfiring because you're just making it easier for me.
Well, you like things easy, don't you? You don't even have an affair the hard way.
Meaning what?
Meaning you could have at least taken the trouble to look outside your office for a girl. Oh, Miss McCormick, would you please come inside and take an affair? Honestly, Sam.
Karen, don't force me to say nice things about her to you.
I can't help it. I'm just disappointed in you. It's so damned unoriginal.
What did you want her to be? A fighter pilot with the Israeli Air Force?
Everyone cheats with their secretaries. I expected more from my husband.
Well, I never saw you like this. You live with a person your whole life. You don't really know them.
Go on, Sam. Go on and have your affair. You're 51 years old, and an hour it may be too late.
My God, you are something special. You are really something special, Karen. 23 years I'm married to you, and I still can't make you out. You don't look much different than the ordinary woman, but I promise you there is nothing walking around on two legs that compares in any way, shape, or form to the likes of you.
Well, so if I'm so special, what are you carrying on with secretaries for?
I'll be goddamned if I know.
Sam? Sam! Do I still have two choices? Because if I do, I choose get rid of Miss McCormick. I pick stay here and work it out with me, Sam. Because the other way, I think I'm going to lose. Don't go to the office tonight, Sam. Stay with me, please.
I swear. I wish we could go back the way it was before. A couple of years ago, before there were any problems.
Well, maybe we can. Look, we'll do what you said. We'll lie. We'll tell each other everything is all right. There's nothing wrong in the office tonight. There is no Miss McCormick, and I'm 27 goddamn years old. What do you say, Sam?
Maybe tomorrow, Karen. I can't tonight. I'll see you.
When? Never mind. I love surprises.
Champagne. I brought two glasses, just in case.
Mm.
Is he coming back?
Funny you should ask that.
Thanks for the memory of candlelight and wine, castles on the Rhine, the Parthenon, and moments on the Hudson River line. How lovely it was. Thanks for the memories of rainy afternoons, swingy Harlem tunes, and motor trips, and burning lips, and burning toast and prunes. How lovely it was. Many's the time that we feasted, and many's the time that we fasted. Oh, well, it was swell. While it lasted, we did have fun and no harm done. So thanks for the memory, and strictly unto new, darling, how are you? And how are all the little dreams that never did come true? Awfully glad I met you, cheerio and toodaloo, and thank you so much.
Part 2, The Visitor from Hollywood.
Hello? Yes, put her on. Hello? Muriel? Where are you? Well, come on up. Yes, I'm positive. It's all right. Muriel, do you want me to come down and get you? All right, then. Take the elevator and come to suite 719. And stop being so silly. I'm dying to see you. Hello, operator. This is Mr. Kiplinger in suite 719. Would you please hold all local calls for the next hour? I'm going to be in conference. Make that an hour and a half. Thank you. Now, clear up the bed. Must look presentable. Curtain. Yeah, daddy. Here. Okay. Close. Okay. Right. Muriel. It's not.
It is.
Muriel, I can't believe it. Is it really you?
Me, Muriel.
Well, come on in for Pete's sake. Come on in.
I can only stay for a few minutes.
My God, it's good to see you.
I just dropped in to say hello. I really can't stay.
You sounded good on the phone, but you look even
because
better.
Because I've got to get back to New Jersey. I'm parked in a one-hour zone. Hello, Jesse. I think I'm very nervous.
Hey, hello, Muriel.
Same old Muriel, eh?
What do you mean, same old Muriel? You look fantastic. Come here, let's take a good look at you.
Oh, don't, Jesse, don't. I've been stuck in the Holland Tunnel for 2 hours. What time is it? Tell me when it's 3 o'clock. I can't stay.
Muriel, I can't get over it. You look absolutely wonderful.
Well, I feel absolutely wonderful.
I really sincerely mean that. You simply look incredibly fantastic.
Well, I feel incredibly fantastic.
Well, you look it.
Well, I feel it.
And how are you?
I'm all right.
Here, let me take your coat.
Oh, I don't know why I'm so nervous. Do you?
No. I can't imagine why you should be so nervous.
Neither can I. I just am. Should I be here?
Why not? Anything wrong in it?
Oh, no, no, of course not. And there's nothing wrong in it. My God, no, I don't see anything wrong. I mean, I just dropped in from New Jersey to say hello. What's wrong with that? I just don't think I should be here. What time is it? Is it 3 o'clock?
Little Muriel Tate, all grown up and married. Now, how many kids you got now?
Three.
No kidding. Three kids? What are they?
A boy and a girl.
A boy and a girl?
And another boy. Away at camp. I can't even think straight. It's terrible.
Come on. What's wrong?
I don't know. I can't catch my breath. Well, it's you. That's the simple explanation. I'm nervous about meeting you.
Me? Me? Jesse Kiplinger, your high school boyfriend from Tenafly, New Jersey. Oh, Muriel.
Oh, you know what I mean. Mr. Famous Hollywood Producer staying at the Plaza Hotel.
Mr. Famous Hollywood Producer. Muriel, you know me better than that. I haven't changed. I made a couple of pictures. That's all.
A couple of pictures? The Easter show at the Radio City Musical. I stood in line with my children for 3 hours in the rain.
What did you do that for? You could have called my office in New York.
No.
My girl would have got you right in any time you wanted to see one of my pictures.
That.
Why not?
I couldn't impose like
you're
that.
You're not imposing.
I am.
I want you to.
What's the number?
I'll give it to you before you go. But first, you're going to sit down and have a drink. There's a million things I'm dying to
ask. Oh, no, no. Drinks for me.
One little drink?
No. You go ahead and have a drink. I have a 5 o'clock hairdresser's appointment.
You don't drink?
Oh, once in a great, great while. Anyway, I've got to get home. I shouldn't be in the city. The kids will be home from school soon. I've got to make dinner for Larry, and I haven't even done my shopping at Bunwitz. No, I just dropped by to say hello.
What do you have?
A vodka stinger.
Coming right up.
And then I've got to go. Whew. I finally took a breath. That felt good.
Will you relax? Will you, Muriel? Come on now. I want you to stop being so silly and relax.
Is that how you talk to your stars when they're nervous? Is that what you say to Elkie Summer?
I don't talk to the stars. I have directors for that. Now, for God's sakes, Muriel, what are you so nervous about?
Ooh, there's that famous Hollywood temper I read about. You want me to be frank?
Please.
I feel funny sitting here drinking in a hotel room. I mean, I'm a married woman.
Would you feel better if we had our drinks down in the palm court?
We're here. We might as well stay.
Okay. Then will you sit back and relax?
Just for a few minutes. I've got a 6 o'clock hairdresser's appointment.
I thought it was at 5.
It's flexible. Is it warm in here?
Why don't you take off your gloves?
Oh, no. Let's not have any of that, Mr. Jesse Killinger of Hollywood, California. My gloves will stay where they belong, if you please.
Muriel, you are delightfully and incredibly unchanged. How long has it been now? 15, 16 years?
Since our last date, it'll be 17 years on August 6th.
You remember that?
I still have the swivel sticks from Tavern on the Green.
No, the time hasn't changed you, Muriel. You're still so fresh and clean and... Oh, you even smell the same way.
Oh?
Like cool peppermint, like clear, cool peppermint.
Now, you and your nose, just behave yourself. I did not come to the Plaza Hotel to be smelled.
And now you've blossomed and matured. Only in reverse, you look younger and fresher and... Well, you know what I mean. I just think you look absolutely fantastic.
You're going to be in New York long, Jesse?
Possibly just till the weekend. I've got to sign a director for my new picture.
John Huston?
Yes. How did you know that?
Oh, we keep up on things in Tenafly. Mr. Famous Hollywood producer staying at the Plaza Hotel, signing up John Huston for his next picture.
I might stay over another few days. It depends on what develops.
I've never been in the Plaza before. It's beautiful. What's in there?
The bedroom. You can go in.
Oh, it's all right. I'll take your word for it. Is this... Where you meet with John Huston? I mean, does he sit in here and the two of you talk and then he signs the contract? Is that how you do it?
In this very room. Will you stop with the celebrity routine? Aside from a couple of extra pounds, I'm still the same boy who ran anchor on the Tenafly track team.
I was living in the old Humphrey Bogart house in Beverly Hills.
How did you know that?
Never mind, I know. Maybe I haven't seen you in 17 years, but I know an awful lot about you, Mr. Jesse Killinger. Pooch.
Pooch?
Isn't that what they call you in Hollywood? Your nickname. Pooch.
Gooch.
I thought it was Pooch.
No. It's Gooch.
I thought I read that you have all your shirts specially made by Pucci in Florence, so they call you Pooch.
No. I have all my shoes made by Gucci in Rome, so they call me Gooch.
Oh.
It's a silly thing. I don't know why they print stories like that.
Because people like me like to read them. Are those Gucci shoes you're wearing now? Gooch?
These? No, these are the one pair I had made in England. You can't get this leather in Italy. No, I have a man in Bond Street makes them for me. McCombs.
Well, they're beautiful shoes. McCooch.
McCooch. That's very good. Hey, can we stop talking about me for a while?
Well, why? Huh? I think you're very interesting to talk about.
Well, I don't. I'm very bored with me. I'm much more interested in you. But first, let's have our drinks.
And then I've got to go.
Let's say to renewing old acquaintances.
You drink to that. I'll drink to your new picture winning the Academy Award.
Muriel, it's not going to win the Academy Award. It's not even going to get nominated. As a matter of fact, it's a piece of crap. Excuse me, Muriel.
Be that as it may, it's going to gross over $9 million domestic.
That's beside the point. How did you know that?
I know, Mr. Gooch Kiplinger. I've been following your career very closely, if you please.
Muriel, it is so exciting seeing you again. The minute you walked in that door, I got a tingle all over the way I used to. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm sure I don't. I have three children, and I'm very happy, and I have a wonderful life. And I have no business being in a hotel room in New York at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with a man I haven't seen since Tavern on the Green 17 years ago. Any particular reason you do that?
I wanted to, desperately.
You always blithely go ahead and do whatever you want to.
If I can get away with it. As a matter of fact, if you don't object too strenuously, I'm going to kiss you again.
And then I've got to go. Oh! Not enough of that, Mr. Do whatever you want to come into. Wow, that vodka stinger's really gone to my head.
It's even better when you drink it.
Now, don't confuse me. I'm nervous enough as it is. Cheers. Was it good?
What, the drink?
The kiss.
The kiss? Yes, the kiss was very good.
What did it feel like?
What do you mean, what did it feel like?
Was it a good kiss or medium kiss or a waste of time kiss? I'm interested in knowing your reaction.
Why? You never asked me that when I kissed you in Tenafly.
You weren't a famous Hollywood producer living in Humphrey Bogart's house signing John Huston for your next picture in Tenafly. Can I please have your reaction to the kiss?
It was a superb kiss.
It wasn't superb. I don't kiss superbly. It was an average, inexperienced, everyday New Jersey kiss. I don't even know why I let you kiss me anyway, Mr. Famous Hollywood Kisser.
Is it possible that you are the last sweet, simple, unchanged, unspoiled woman living in the world today?
I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, God. What time is it?
20 after.
3? Already? I've got to go.
Not yet.
I must.
10 more minutes.
I can't.
Please.
I'll stay 5.
Good.
Why did you call me yesterday?
I called you because, believe it or not, I've been thinking about you.
For 17 years?
On and off.
In Humphrey Bogart's old house? I don't believe you, Mr. International Liar. And I don't trust you. And I'm not staying.
Goodbye.
Do you mean that?
I don't want to force you to stay here. You know what's best for you.
I'll just finish my drink.
Muriel, you must believe me when I tell you I have no ulterior motives in asking you here today. I just wanted to see you. I'm trying to impress you with the fact that you are the only solitary, real, honest-to-goodness, unphony woman that I have been with since the day I arrived in Hollywood 17 years ago.
What about your mother?
She's the worst one.
Well, your mother must be very proud to have a famous son.
Do you know, in my own quiet way, I was crazy about you.
As a matter of fact, everyone in Tenafly is proud of you. Even Larry, my husband, talks about you all the time. He always says, Jesse Kiplinger, Jesse Kiplinger. That's all I ever hear around this house.
I remember exactly what you looked like the day I left for California. You were wearing a tan raincoat, a tweed skirt, and a brown sweater, and a little locket that your grandmother had given you. You wore it here. Do you remember?
I remember when your first picture came to Tenafly. That's what I remember. Everybody went. Do you know it was the only Jeff Chandler picture they ever played 2 weeks at the Hillside Drive-In?
Even then, you had a quality about you, Muriel, that was sort of, well, untouched. You were the only girl that gave me pleasure in just holding her hand.
You know, a lot of girls from school still kid me about you. I mean, when they see your name in a column or something like that.
I didn't expect to see it anymore. Muriel, that quality of honesty and frankness, that ability to cut through deceit. And phoniness, with just one look through those big, unsuspecting, wide-open eyes. I really did not expect to see it again in my lifetime.
They always kid me and say, oh, if I married you instead of Larry, I'd be living in Hollywood now and going to parties with James Garner. Otto Preminger, running around with a rat pack.
You don't know what you are. You really don't. Well, I'll tell you what you are. You're something very special. I know, Muriel.
I mean, I wouldn't even know what to say to Otto Preminger.
Don't change, Muriel. Don't ever change the sweet, simple way you are.
Do you know Frank Sinatra?
Who?
Frank Sinatra. Did you ever meet him?
Yes. Yes, I know Frank.
What's he like?
Frank? I don't really know him that well. We had dinner a few times.
Where? In his house?
Once in a restaurant. Once, I think, in his house. I don't remember.
Was Mia there?
No. This was before he met Mia.
So, in other words, you've never met Mia?
Yes, I did meet Mia, but she wasn't married to Frank then.
I see. They say he's very generous. Is that true? Is he as generous as they say?
Yeah, I guess so. He served very large portions. I don't know. Good God, who cares about Frank Sinatra?
Well, I'm sorry. I was just curious. I mean, I didn't mean to pry into your personal life. Well, I've got to go.
No, wait, Muriel.
No, I've got to leave before the traffic starts. If I get stuck in the Holland Tunnel again and I'm late for Larry's dinner, he'll want to know where I was, and I don't lie very well. And, oh, God, I don't know why I came here in the first place. What have I done?
You haven't done anything, Muriel.
I haven't done anything? I'm sitting here letting you touch me and kiss me and smell me.
Muriel, if I've done anything to offend you, I'm sorry.
I must have been out of my mind coming to the Plaza Hotel in the middle of the week.
There is no reason to get yourself upset. I didn't do anything
worse
than
giving
you...
A wonderful reputation.
I'm glad you enjoy it. Now stop being so silly. Sit down and finish your drink.
I suppose you'll go back to Hollywood and have a big laugh with Otto Preminger over this.
I wouldn't dream of it.
Promise.
I promise.
Say it. say I will not have a big laugh with Otto Preminger over this.
I don't even talk to Otto Preminger, but why would I laugh at you? I have nothing but respect and warmest of feelings for you.
You do? God's truth.
God's truth? You're an angel.
Really? Would I fit in with your crowd?
No. No, you would not fit in with my crowd. You're too good for them. You're too sweet and honest for the whole slimy bunch.
But which ones would I fit in with?
Muriel, I don't know what kind of distorted image you have of these people, but they're not what you think they are. I'm not what you think I am. All these things you read in the paper about me being witty and charming, the boy genius, that's only part of the story. Do you know what kind of life I really lead in Hollywood?
Are you going to tell me?
Yes, I'll tell you. Why did I call you yesterday? After 17 years? Okay, let's start with, yes, I'm a famous Hollywood producer. Yes, I never made a picture that lost money. Yes, I got that magic touch. Call it talent, whatever you want, I don't know. The fact is, ever since I was old enough to sneak into the Ridgewood Theater in Tenafly, I've been a movie nut. Not only have I seen every Humphrey Bogart movie ever made at least 8 times, I now own a print of all those pictures. Why do you think I was so crazy to buy his house? So I went to Hollywood, and I was very lucky and extremely smart, and presto, I became a producer. And I love making movies. Some are good, some are bad, most of them are fun. I hope I can continue doing it for the next 50 years. That's one half of my life. The other half is in the last 14 years, I've been married 3 times. To 3 of the worst bitches you'd ever want to meet.
Jesse, you don't have to tell me any of this if you don't want to.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I shouldn't be telling you about my sordid Hollywood past.
So, you married these 3 bitches. Then what happened?
What happened? I gave them love. I gave them home. I gave them a beautiful way of life. And the 3 bitches took me for every cent I got. Here, let me top you off. Now, I don't care about the money. Screw it. Excuse me, Muriel. What hurts is that they took the guts out of me. They were phony, unfaithful, all of them. Do you know I caught my first wife, Dolores, in bed with a jockey? A jockey! Do you know what it does to a man's self-respect to find his wife in the sack with a 4'8" shrimp, weighs 112 pounds? But as I said before, screw it. Tell me if I'm shocking you, Muriel.
I'll let you know.
All right. My second wife, Carlotta, she was keeping her Spanish guitar teacher. Keeping him. I never caught her, but she didn't fool me. No one takes $27,000 worth of guitar lessons in 1 year.
Is Carlotta the one you met at Kirk Douglas's house?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Was that in the paper, too?
Sheila Graham's column. It was a big party for the Ukrainian folk dancers and the Los Angeles Rams.
Now, Muriel, forget the Los Angeles Rams. Listen to what I'm saying to you. I'm in a very bad way. I've been through 3 hellish, miserable marriages. I don't want to go that route again. I'm losing my faith and belief that there's anything left that resembles an uncorrupt woman. So last week, my mother, who still gets the Tenafly newspaper, showed me a picture of the PTA annual outing at Palisades this year, and who is there on the front page, coming in first in the mother and daughter potato race, looking every bit as young and lovely and as sweet as she did 17 years ago, was my last salvation, Muriel Tate. That's why I had to see you, Muriel. Just to talk to you, to have a drink, to spend 5 minutes, to reaffirm my faith that there are decent women in this world. Even if it's only one. Even if you're the last of a dying species. If somebody like you exists, Muriel, then maybe there's still somebody for me. And that's why I called you yesterday.
Well. Well. Well.
I hope whatever I said didn't embarrass you, Muriel. In hell, if you expect honesty from another person, you can't be anything less than honest yourself.
I'm not embarrassed. I am flattered to think a famous person like you wants to confide in a plain person like me.
Now you finish your vodka stinger, and then I'm going to let you go.
Oh, I've got plenty of time. Larry's never home till 7. Cheers.
How are you, Muriel? Are you happy?
Happy? Hmm? Oh, yes. I think if I'm anything, I'm happy.
I'm glad. You deserve happiness, Muriel.
Oh, yes, Larry and I are very happy. I would have to say that Larry and I have one of the happier marriages in Tenafly.
That's wonderful.
I mean, we've had our ups and downs, like any married couple, but I think in the final analysis, what's left is that we're happy.
I couldn't be more pleased. Well, listen, it's no surprise. Larry's a wonderful guy.
Do you think so?
Don't you?
I do, but no one else seems to care for him. Of course, they don't know him the way I do. I'm out of stinger again.
Are you sure you're going to be all right? I mean, driving?
If I had to worry about getting home every time I had three vodka stingers, I'd give up driving. Yes, I'd say that in spite of everything, Larry and I have worked out happiness, or some form of it.
Is he doing well in business?
Oh, in business, you don't have to worry. In that department, he's doing great. I mean, he's really got a wonderful business there. Of course, it was good when my father had it. Mm. Thanks. Oh, cheers. Mm.
In what department isn't he doing well?
Oh, he's doing well in every department.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Then I'm glad.
Why? What do you hear?
I haven't heard a thing except what you're telling me.
Well, I'm telling you we have a happy marriage. Are you trying to infer we don't have a happy marriage?
No.
Well,
no,
you're wrong. We have a happy marriage. We have a goddamn happy marriage. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I should have had lunch.
Shall I order down for some food?
No, I can't stay, Larry. You'll be home about 5.
I thought he comes home at 7.
If he comes home at all. Oh, please forgive me, Jesse. I seem to be losing control of myself.
You drank those too quickly. Didn't you have anything to eat all day?
Sir Olive with the two stingers downstairs. I'll be all right.
You want to lie down for a while?
What's the point? You're going back to Hollywood in a few days. Oh, I see what you mean. God, Jesse, I'm sorry. I seem to be running off at the mouth.
What is it, Muriel? What's with you and Larry?
Nothing. I told you. We're very happy. We have tiny little differences like every normal couple, but basically we're enormously happy together. I couldn't ask for a better life. Come here. You shouldn't have done that, Jesse. I'm very vulnerable right now, and you mustn't take advantage. I'm going. I've got to go.
Muriel, I didn't know.
No, Jesse, don't.
Why did you let me know?
Well, who knew you were interested? You were always at a party with the Los Angeles Rams.
I never suspected for a minute. Why didn't you write to me?
Where? I don't know where Humphrey Bogart lived. I've got to go. Let me go.
Oh, God, how I thought about you on the plane all the way to New York.
I've got to buy something in Bon Ritz and get dinner for Larry. Don't bite my neck. It'll leave marks.
Oh, you're different. I know you are. You're not like any of the others.
I'm not different, Jesse. I'm a woman. A happily married woman with normal desires and passions. Please don't rub me.
My life is empty, Muriel. Empty. But you can fill it for me. You can.
I can't fill your life for you, Jesse. I've got to get home. Larry will kill me.
Stay. An hour. Just 1 hour, that's all.
No. Tomorrow I'll be alone with my regrets, and you'll be out there with Dino and Groucho.
1 hour, Muriel. Live my life with me for 1 hour.
No, please, Jesse. I've got to pick up my lamb chops.
1 hour, Muriel. The world can change for 1 hour.
Can it, Jesse? Can it really?
It can for me, Muriel. It can for you.
I don't know, Jesse. I just don't know.
All right. We'll just talk. I'll just rub you. Here. No one ever got hurt just talking, did they?
I suppose not.
Of course they didn't. Does that feel nice?
What do we talk about?
Whatever you want. Whatever you say.
Did you go to the Academy Awards dinner last year?
Certainly. I go every year.
Oh, God. Really?
Really.
Who did you sit next to?
In the theater, I sat next to Steve McQueen on one side and Liza Minnelli on the other.
She's adorable, isn't she?
A real pixie.
And who did you sit with at the dinner?
Well, let's see. At my table, there was Charlton Heston and his wife. Josephine Levine, the producer. Eva Marie Saint. Marge and Gower Champion.
Oh, they're cute. All at your table.
All at my table. And at the next table, there was Anthony Quinn. And Verna Lisi. Paul Newman. And Joanne...
Woodward.
Woodward. And there was Dean... Jones and Yvette Mimieux.
Together?
Yes, together. Oh. And behind us, there was Troy Donahue.
Oh.
Stella Stevens. Oh. Sammy Davis Jr. Mm. And Margot Fontaine. Oh. 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 Mmm.
Let's build a stairway to the stars and climb that stairway to the stars with love beside us to fill the night with a song. We'll hear the sound of violins out yonder where the blue begins. The moon will guide us as we go drifting along. Can't we sail away on a lazy daisy pedal over the rim of the hill? Can't we sail away on a little dream and settle high on the crest of a thrill? To the stars, a lovely stairway to the stars. It would be heaven to climb to heaven with you. It would be heaven to climb to heaven with you.
Part 3, The Visitor from Forest Hills.
Hello. Hello, operator. Can I have the blue room, please? The blue room. Is there a pink room? I want the Hubley Eisler wedding. The green room, that's it. Yes, thank you. Could you please hurry, operator? It's an emergency. Oh, my God. Hello? Who's this? Oh, Mr. Eisler. It's Norma Hubley. No. Everything is fine. Yes, we're coming right down. Oh, yes. Yes, you're right. It certainly is a big day. Mr. Eisler, is my husband there? Would you please? Oh. Well, I'd like to wish you the very best of luck, too. Borden's a wonderful boy. Well, they're both wonderful kids. No. She's as calm as a cucumber. That's the younger generation, I guess. Yes, everything seems to be going along beautifully. Absolutely beautifully. Oh, thank you. Put him on. Roy, you better get up here right away. We are in big trouble. Don't ask questions. Just get up here. I hope you're not drunk because I can't handle this alone. Don't say anything. Just smile, walk leisurely out the door, and then get the hell up here as fast as you can. All right, Minzy. Your father's on his way up. Now I want you to come out of that bathroom and get married. Do you hear me? I have had enough of this nonsense, Mimsy. Unlock that door. Ow. Mimsy, darling, please come downstairs and get married. You know your father's temper. I know what you're going through now, sweetheart. You're just nervous. Everyone goes through that on their wedding day. It's going to be all right, darling. You love Borden, and he loves you. You're both going to have a wonderful future. So please, come out of the bathroom. Oh, Mimsy,
If you don't care about your life, think about mine. Your father will kill me. God, he's here. Mimsy, please spare me this. If you want, I'll have it annulled next week, but please come out and get married. All right. I'm letting your father in. And heaven help the three of us.
Why are you standing here? There are 68 people down there drinking my liquor. If there's going to be a wedding, let's have a wedding. Come on.
Roy.
Didn't you hear what I said? There's another couple waiting to use the green room. Come on, let's go.
Roy, would you come in for a minute? I want to talk to you about something.
You want to talk now? You had 21 years to talk while she was growing up. I'll talk to you when they're in Bermuda. Can we please have a wedding?
We can't have a wedding until you and I have a talk.
Are you crazy? Well, you and I are talking here. There are four musicians playing downstairs for $100 an hour. I'll talk to you later when we're dancing. Come on, get Mimsy and let's go.
That's what I want to talk to you about.
Mimsy?
You're not going to like this.
Is she sick?
She's not sick, exactly.
What do you mean she's not sick, exactly? Either she's sick or she's not sick. Is she sick?
She's not sick.
Then let's have a wedding. Mimsy, there's $500 worth of cocktail frankfurters getting called downstairs. Where's Mimsy?
Promise you're not going to blame me.
Blame you for what? What did you do?
I didn't do anything, but I don't want to get blamed for it.
What's going on here? Are you going to tell me where Mimsy is?
Are you going to take an oath you're not going to blame me?
I take it. Now, where the hell is she?
She's locked herself in the bathroom. She's not coming out, and she's not getting married.
No kidding, where is she?
He doesn't believe me. I'll kill myself.
Mimsy!
All right. What did you say to her?
I knew it. I knew you'd blame me. You took an oath. God will punish you.
I'm not blaming you. I just want to know what stupid thing you said to her that made her do this.
I didn't say a word. I was putting on my lipstick. She was in the bathroom. I heard the door go click. It was locked. My whole life was over. What do you want from me?
And you didn't say a word.
Nothing.
I see. In other words, you're trying to tell me that a normal, healthy, intelligent 21-year-old college graduate who has driven me crazy the last 18 months with wedding lists, floral arrangements, and choices of assorted hors d'oeuvres has suddenly decided to spend this, the most important day of her life, locked in a Plaza Hotel, John?
Yes.
You must have said something!
Roy, what are you going to do?
First, I'm getting the college graduate out of the bathroom. Then we're going to have a wedding. And then you and I are going to have a big talk. Mimsy, this is your father. I want you and your $2,500 wedding dress out of there 5 seconds.
Don't threaten her. She'll never come out if you threaten her.
I got 68 guests, 9 waiters, 4 musicians, and a boy with a wedding license waiting downstairs. This is no time to be diplomatic. Mimsy! Are you coming out or do we have the wedding in the bathroom?
Will you lower your voice? Everyone will hear us.
How long do you think we can keep this a secret? As soon as that boy says, I do, and there's no one standing next to him, they're going to suspect something.
No.
You can't stay in there forever, Mimsy. Come on. We only have the room until 6 o'clock. You hear me?
Roy, will you please try and control yourself?
All right. I'll stay here and control myself. You go downstairs and marry the short, skinny kid. What's the matter with you? Don't you realize what's happening?
Yes, I realize what's happening. Our daughter is nervous, frightened, and scared to death.
Of what? Of what? She's been screaming for 2 years. If he doesn't ask her to marry him, she'll throw herself off the Guggenheim Museum. What is she scared of?
I don't know. Maybe she had second thoughts about the whole thing.
Second thoughts? This is no time to be having second thoughts. It's costing me $20,000 for the first thoughts. Mindy, open this door.
Is that all you care about? What it's costing you? I mean, aren't you concerned about your daughter's happiness?
Yes. I'm concerned about my daughter's happiness. I'm also concerned about that boy waiting downstairs. A decent, respectable, intelligent young man who I hope one day is going to teach that daughter of mine to grow up.
You haven't the faintest idea of what's going through her mind right now.
Do you?
It could be anything. I don't know. Maybe she thinks she's not good enough for him.
Why? What is he? Some kind of Greek god? He's a plain kid. Nothing. That's ridiculous. Lindsay! Lindsay! Open this door! Maybe she's not in there.
She's in there. Oh, God, I think I'm having a heart attack.
I don't hear a peep out of her. Is there a window in there? Maybe she tried something crazy.
That's right. Tell a woman who's having a heart attack that her daughter jumped out the window.
Take a look through the keyhole. I want to make sure she's in there.
She's in there, I tell you. Look at this. My hand that keeps bouncing off my chest.
Are you going to look in there and see if she's all right? Or am I going to call a house detective?
Why don't you look?
Maybe she's taking a bath.
2 minutes before her own wedding.
What wedding? She just called it off.
Wouldn't I have heard the water running?
With that hat, you couldn't hear Niagara Falls. Are you going to look through that keyhole to see what your daughter's doing in the bathroom, or do I ask a stranger?
I'll look. Oh, my God.
What's the matter?
I ripped my stocking.
Is she in there?
She's in there. Where am I going to get another pair of stockings? Now, how am I going to go to the wedding with torn stockings?
If she doesn't show up, who's going to look at you? You're right. There she is, sitting there and crying.
I told you she was in there. The only one in my family to have a daughter married at the Plaza Hotel, and I have torn stockings.
Mimsy, I can see you. Do you hear me? Don't turn away from me when I'm talking to you.
Maybe I could run across to Bergdorf's. They have nice stockings.
Do you want me to break down the door, Mimsy? Is that what you want? Because that's what I'm doing. If you're not out of there in 5 seconds, stop crying on your dress. Use a towel.
I don't have any money. Give me $10, Roy. I'll be back in 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes, she'll be a married woman because I've had enough of this nonsense. All right, Mimsy. Stand in the shower. Because I'm breaking down this door.
Roy, don't get crazy.
Get out of my way.
Roy, she'll come out. Just talk nicely to her.
We already had nice talking. Now we're going to have door breaking. All right, Mimsy. I'm coming in.
No, Roy, don't. Don't. Oh, my God.
Get a doctor.
I knew it.
Don't tell me I knew it. Just get a doctor. I'm not coming in, Mimsy, because my arm is broken.
Let me see it. Can you move your fingers?
Are you happy now? Your mother has torn stockings and your father has a broken arm. How much longer is this going to go on?
It's not broken, Roy. You can move your fingers. Now, have you $10 in your pockets? I have to get stockings.
Are you crazy moving a broken arm?
$5, then. I'll get a cheap pair.
I'm not carrying any cash today. Rented. Everything is rented.
I can't rent stockings. Don't you even have a charge plate?
Leave me alone. Wait in the green room. You're no use to me here. Go wait in the green room.
With torn stockings.
Stand behind a rented potted plant. They're going to call from downstairs any second, asking where the bride is. And I'm the one who's going to have to speak to them. Me. That's them. That's them. You speak to them.
What happened to me? Me.
Answer it.
What am I going to say to them?
I don't know. Maybe something will come to you as you're talking.
Hello? Oh, Mr. Eisler. Yes, it certainly is the big moment.
Stall him! Just keep stalling him. Whatever you do, stall him.
Yes. We'll be down in 2 minutes.
Are you crazy? What'd you say that for? I told you to stall him.
I stalled him. You got 2 minutes. What do you want from me?
You always panic. The minute there's a little crisis, you always go to pieces and panic.
Don't you wave your broken arm at me. Why don't you use it to get your daughter out of the bathroom?
I could say something to you now.
Then why don't you say it?
Because it would lead to a fight. And I don't want to spoil this day for you. Mimsy, this is your father speaking. I think you know I'm not a violent man. I can be stern and strict, but I have never once been violent. Except when I'm angry. And I am really angry now, Mimsy. You can ask your mother.
Mimsy, this is your mother speaking. It's true, darling. Your father is very angry.
This is your father again, Mimsy. If you have a problem you want to discuss, unlock the door and we'll discuss it. I'm not going to ask you this again, Mimsy. I've reached the end of my patience. I'm going to count to three. And by God, I'm warning you, young lady, by the time I've reached three, this door better be open. All right. One. Two. Three!
Where did we fail her?
We didn't fail her.
They're playing Here Comes the Bride downstairs, and she's barricaded in a toilet. We must have failed her.
All right, if it makes you happier, we failed her.
You work, and you dream, and you hope, and you save your whole life for this day, and in one click of a door, suddenly everything crumbles. Why? What's the answer?
Oh, it's not your fault, Roy. Stop blaming yourself.
I'm not blaming myself. I know I've done my best.
What does that mean?
That means we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We're only human. I've done my best, and we failed her.
Meaning I didn't do my best?
I didn't say that. I don't know what your best is. Only you know what your best is. Did you do your best?
Yes. I did my best.
And I did my best.
Then we both did our best.
So it's not our fault.
That's what I said before.
Unless one of us didn't do our best.
I don't want to discuss it anymore.
All right, then what are we going to do?
I'm having a heart attack. You come up with something.
How? All right. I'll go down and tell them.
Tell them? Tell them what?
I don't know. Those people down there deserve some kind of explanation. They're all dressed up, didn't they?
Well, what are you going to say? You're going to tell them that my daughter is not going to marry their son and that she's locked herself in the bathroom?
What do you want me to do? Start off with two good jokes? They're going to find out sometime, aren't they?
I'll tell you what you're going to do. If she's not out of there in 5 minutes, we're going to go out the back door and move to Seattle, Washington. You don't think I'll be able to show my face in this city again, do you? Roy, put that chair down! Oh, my God.
Would you believe it? Last night I cried. Oh, yes. I turned my head into the pillow and lay there in the dark, crying. Because today I was losing my little girl. Some stranger was coming and taking my little Mimsy away from me. So I turned my back on you. And cried. Where do you hear what goes on tonight?
I should have invited your cousin Lily. She wished this on me, I know it. You find something funny about this?
Yeah, I find something funny about this. I find it funny that I hired a photographer for $500. I find it hysterical that the wedding pictures are going to be you and me in front of a locked bathroom. All right, after you're sitting around waiting for that door to open.
What are you doing?
What do you think I'm doing? Looking for a window to open.
If you're jumping, I'm going with you. You're not leaving me here alone.
I'm going to crawl out along that ledge and get in through the bathroom window.
Are you crazy? It's 7 stories up. You'll kill yourself.
It's 4 steps, that's all. It's no problem. Will you let go of me?
Roy, don't do this. No. We'll leave her in the bathroom. Let the hotel worry about her. Don't go out on the ledge.
You're going to rip my coat. Let go or you're going to rip my coat. Hey. You in there? Are you happy now? Your mother's got torn stockings and your father's got a rented ripped coat. Some wedding it's going to be. Get out of my way. I'm going out on that ledge.
I'm getting dizzy. I think I'm going to pass out.
You can pass out after the wedding. Call room service. I want a double scotch the minute I get back.
He'll kill himself. He'll fall and kill himself. That's the way my luck's been going all day. I'm not going to look. I'll just wait until I hear a scream. Oh, my God, I thought it was him. Oh, what am I going to say? Hello? Oh, Mr. Eisler, yes.
We're coming. My husband's getting mimsy now. We'll be right down. Have some more hors d'oeuvres. Oh, thank you. It certainly is the happiest day of my life. No, I'm going to tell him I got a husband dangling over 59th Street. Oh, raining! I knew it! I knew it! It had to happen! Roy! 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 Is it all right? He fell! He fell! He fell! He fell! He's dead, I know it. He's laying there in a puddle in front of Traderton. I'm passing out. This time I'm really passing out. Oh. I'm coming. I'm coming. Help me. Whoever you are, help me. Oh, please, somebody help me, please. Oh.
She locked the window, too. I had to climb in through a strange bedroom. There might be a lawsuit. Let me just get at her.
Don't yell at her. Don't get her more upset.
Don't get her more upset. I'm hanging seven stories from a gargoyle in the pouring rain, and you want me to worry about her? You know what she's doing in there? She's playing with her false eyelashes. I'm out there fighting for my life with pigeons, and she's playing with eyelashes. I already made up my mind. The minute I get my hands on her, I'm going to kill her. Once I show them the wedding bills, no jury on earth would convict me. And if by some miracle she survives, let there be no talk of weddings. She can go into a convent. Let her become a librarian with thick glasses and a pencil hair. I'm not paying any more for any canceled weddings. Now get her out of there. I start to burn these newspapers and smoke her out.
I'll get her out. I'll get her out. Mimsy. Mimsy. Mimsy, please. You want to destroy the family? You want a scandal? Do you want a story in the Daily News? Is that what you want, is it? Open the door. Open it. Promise you won't get hysterical.
What'd you do?
I broke my diamond ring.
You're good. Diamond ring.
How many do I have?
Hey. You. With the false eyelashes. You want to see a broken diamond ring? You want to see $2,800 worth of crushed baguettes? Here. Here.
Oh.
Look through the keyhole.
You're hurting my wrist.
This is a worthless family heirloom. And this is a diamond bathroom door.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm going to do now? Do you have any idea? I'm going to wash my hands of the entire Eisler-Hubley wedding. You can take all the Eislers and all the hors d'oeuvres and go to Central Park and have a $20,000 picnic. I'm going down to the Oak Room with my broken arm. With my drenched, rented, ripped suit, and I'm going to get blind. I don't mean drunk. I mean totally blind. Because I don't want to see you or your crazy daughter again if I live to be 1,000.
That's right. Run out on me. Run out on your daughter. Run out on everybody just when they need you.
You don't need me. You need a rhinoceros with a blowtorch. Because no one else can get in that bathroom.
I'll tell you who can get into that bathroom. Somebody with love and understanding. Somebody who cares about that poor kid who's going through some terrible decision now and needs help. Help that only you can give her, Roy, and that I can give her. That's who can get into that bathroom now.
Ramsey. This is Daddy. There's something wrong, dear.
That's right, dear. Love and understanding.
I want to help you, darling. Mother and I both do. But how can we help you if you won't talk to us? Mimsy, can you hear me?
Maybe she's too choked up to talk.
Mimsy, if you can hear me,
Not twice for yes, once for no. Good. Now, Mimsy, we want to ask you a very, very important question. Do you want to marry Borden or don't you?
She said yes.
She said no.
It was two knocks. Two knocks is yes. She wants to marry him.
It wasn't a double knock, yes. It was two single no knocks. She doesn't want to marry him.
Don't tell me she doesn't want to marry him. I heard her distinctly knock yes. She went, yes, I want to marry him.
It wasn't. It was, and then another. That's no twice. She's not marrying him.
Ask her again. Mimsy, what did you say? Yes or no? All right. There it is in plain English. You never could talk to your own daughter.
Mimsy, this is not a good way to have a conversation. You're going to hurt your knuckles. Won't you come out and talk to us, Mimsy?
Don't you understand? It's probably something she can't discuss with her father. There are times a daughter wants to be alone with her mother. Mimsy, do you want me to come in there and talk to you? Just the two of us, sweetheart. Tell me, darling, is that what you want?
What's that coming under the door?
Look, she sent us a message on toilet paper.
Well, what does it say?
I would rather talk to Daddy. Oh.
I'll try not to be too long.
Thank you, dear. I would rather talk to Daddy. Did she have to write it on this kind of paper? Well, maybe I didn't do my best. I thought we had such a good relationship. Friends. Everyone thought we were friends, not mother and daughter. Tried to do everything right. I tried to teach her that there could be more than just love between a mother and daughter. There can be trust and respect and friendship and understanding. Just because I don't speak to my mother doesn't mean we can't be different. Well?
Operator.
Well?
The green room. Mr. Borden Eisler. Thank you.
I'm going to have to guess. Is that it? It's so bad you can't even tell me. Words can't form in your mouth. It's so horrible, right? Oh, come on. I'm a strong person, Roy. Tell me quickly. I'll get over it.
Borden. Mr. Hubley. Can you come up to 719? Yes, now. Come into the living room, please. She wanted to talk to me because she couldn't bear to say it to both of us at the same time. The reason she's locked herself in the bathroom is she's afraid.
Afraid? What is she afraid of? That Borden doesn't love her?
Not that Borden doesn't love her.
That she doesn't love Borden?
Not that she doesn't love Borden.
Then what is she afraid of?
She's afraid of what they're going to become.
I don't understand.
Think about it.
What's there to think about? What are they going to become? I mean, they love each other. They'll get married. They'll have children. They'll grow older. They'll become like us. I never thought about that.
Makes you stop and think, doesn't it?
I don't think we're so bad. Do you? All right, all right. So we yell and scream a little. So we fight and curse and aggravate each other. Mm. So you blame me for being a lousy mother, and I accuse you of being a rotten husband. It doesn't mean we're not happy, does it? Well, does it?
She wants something better. Hello, Borden.
Hi.
Hello, darling.
Borden, you're an intelligent young man. I'm not going to beat around the bush. We have a serious problem on our hands.
How so?
Mimsy is worried. Worried about your future together. About the whole institution of marriage. We've tried to allay her fears, but obviously we haven't been a very good example. It seems you're the only one who can communicate with her. She's locked herself in the bathroom and is not coming out. It's up to you now.
Mimsy, this is Borden. Cool it. I'll see you downstairs.
What?
I'm ready now.
Now you're ready? Now you come out?
Roy, please.
I break every bone in my body and you come out for cool it?
Oh, you're beautiful, darling. Walk with your father. I want to look at both of you.
That's how he communicates? That's the brilliant understanding between two people? Cool it?
Roy, don't start in. Now, here's your bouquet, my darling, and your glove. You look radiant.
What kind of person is that to let your daughter marry?
Roy, don't aggravate me. I'm warning you. Don't spoil this day for me.
Kids today don't care. Not like they did in my day.
Walk. Will you walk? In 5 minutes, he'll marry one of the flower girls. Take her arm now. Will you walk?
Crazy. I must be out of my mind. A boy like that, she was better off in the bathroom. You hear me? Better off in the bathroom.
This is Neil Simon, and you have been listening to members of the L.A. Classic Theater Works Company in the first ever radio production of my play, Plaza Suite. In the first part, Visitor from Mamaroneck, Karen and Sam Nash were played by Marsha Mason and Joe Spano. There were special guest appearances by Alfred Molina as the waiter, Kerry Shale as the bellhop, and Michelle Costa as Jean McCormick. In The Visitor from Hollywood, Jesse Kiplinger was played by Hector Elizondo, and Muriel Tate was played by Jo Beth Williams. In the third and final part, Visitor from Forest Hills, Norma and Roy Hubley were played by Marsha Mason and Ed Asner, their daughter Mimsy by Amy Irving, and their future son-in-law by Richard Dreyfuss. Plaza Suite was recorded in London and in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica, LA's premier public radio station. The play was directed by Martin Jenkins.